But now, on to sparrows and sermons. It's difficult, even for pastors, to identify the center of today's gospel text, to figure out what's at the heart of this collection of Jesus' teachings, instructions, and guidelines for disciples and missionaries. There's no evidence that Jesus delivered this list all at once. Probably not. But Matthew, the gospel writer, was a collector and an organizer. So he chose to collect and organize these sayings of Jesus to put in one place the things Jesus says are always meant to characterize and to shape the witness of disciples sent into the world as missionaries near or far. You and I are both missionaries and disciples, because it's not distance that makes us missionaries. It's our movement toward others, whether right next door or halfway across the world. In collecting these sayings, Matthew has created, as it were, a kind of hermeneutical string of pearls to be carried and worn daily by disciples of every time, us too, to remind us of our mission. These sayings are critically important in the face of the mission all disciples undertake, and also in the face of the resistance that mission may provoke. Discipleship, you know, is serious work. But there's something striking about this list, right in the middle of Jesus' instructions and admonitions comes a word about sparrows. Does this mean discipleship is for the birds? Definitely not. But there is something about sparrows that's key to the message disciples bring and the message that disciples are. In these sparrow sayings, Jesus is saying, with Matthew's help, that understanding how much God values us and cares for us will be key to enduring the discipleship life and to making clear the message of divine love that's meant for everyone without distinction. There are lots of different sparrows in the world. 15 species in the United States alone. But like the sparrows Jesus knew in his own geography, they're small, they're not brightly colored, and they're so common, they're often hardly noticed. In Jesus' day, they seemed most valuable to young children who would hunt and catch them, tie them in bundles of 2 to 5, and sell them for less than a quarter. In different times and cultures, certain birds become important symbols. Birds like eagles and doves, but never sparrows. Think of the eagle, our own country's national bird. They suggest majesty and power. In Jesus' time, the symbol of the Roman eagle inspired awe, but also fear. It reminded conquered peoples who was in charge and who was always watching for signs of disobedience or resistance, and when it found them, who was ready to swoop in and take swift and deadly action. Some of Jesus' disciples and many other folks were looking for a Messiah who would take on the Roman eagle and all that it stood for. They wanted Jesus to be like an eagle, swooping down on the Romans, destroying the predator, and rescuing those who had become their prey. But remember how often those folks were sorely disappointed to find Jesus refusing to be their eagle. committed instead to being their sparrow, someone described by his neighbors as nondescript, as just a carpenter's kid, someone willing to remain with and identified with the conquered, somebody who certainly spoke up against cruelty and injustice, but whose resistance took the form of companionship and compassion and mercy, embracing the poor and being a willing ally of the powerless and the despised. So, in the midst of teachings about the life and mission of those who had followed Jesus and proclaiming God's reign of love, in the midst of words that make all too clear there are going to be difficulties ahead, we find an unexpected word about sparrows. Indeed, a call to be sparrows, to be content to be God's sparrows, who, though devalued by others, find their value and security in God. Jesus uses the most common of birds to teach a profound and welcome truth that in God's eyes, no one is insignificant or forgotten. And sparrows are just the sort of creatures to deliver that message. As Jesus' disciples considered the difficulty of their mission, the ways others would not simply resist what they came to say and to do, but perhaps also inflict cruelty and rejection, they were often overcome by fear. But this wasn't true just for Jesus' first disciples. It's true for disciples of every age. Matthew was speaking to disciples who were being sent out as missionaries from their home church. But we recognize this also in our own fear and hesitation to speak about Jesus or our faith closer to home, whether among family members, colleagues, neighbors, or institutions that see us as nothing but sparrows, small, insignificant, or just plain troublesome and a nuisance when we show up in numbers. That's why in the midst of talking about the discipleship life and the missionary journey, Matthew inserts Jesus' blessed reminder of what is at the heart of it all, who is at the heart of it all, and how that empowers and encourages us to go on, to keep on. God knows we need to hear that because, as Jesus' siblings, we are sparrows all. And because God treasures and remembers Jesus, God's sparrow, remembers how God's sparrow was rejected, suffered, even died for love of all the world, we can trust that God also knows and remembers how much we, the sparrows of today, need hope and help to continue the mission we have inherited to gather other sparrows home to God's nest of love. So hear what Jesus is saying today, loud and clear. God loves and knows each and every one of you. God knows your fears and your challenges, your sufferings and your hesitations. But they're not cause for rejection or shame. Rather, they're all the more reason to believe that each of us is known and remembered, watched over and loved, the object of God's daily and everlasting care. People redeemed and called to spread the sparrow gospel wherever we go, to whomever we meet. People who know how to speak sparrow to the sparrows we encounter and approach. In our neighborhoods, our cities, our country, our world, there are so many sparrows who are suffering, who are feeling at the mercy of those with power, power to forget them, as well as power to hurt them and destroy their future. The ministries of this congregation are testimony that you already know that, and that you are willing to bring a message, a witness, and a presence that declares you are valued, you matter, you are precious, you are loved by us and by God. The psalmist saying, even the sparrow finds a home at God's altars. I see that in the way you take time to talk with visitors, to make them feel welcome, to help them feel that we're happy they've come, and we hope they'll come back. I see that in those who volunteer monthly with the Open Heart Food Pantry, sorting, cutting open huge bags of fruits and vegetables to repackage their contents in smaller bags, and doing other simple but important tasks that prepare food for distribution to households in need of good food. I see that in the way you welcome the musicians, not just the audience members, to Jazz Church West performances. I see that in the way you greet people who drop by our do-it-yourself picnics or come to explore the Peace Garden. I see it in the way you embrace and support our Afghan friends. I won't list all the ways because, as one of my seminary professors once said, sermons need not be endless to be eternal. But I hope you get the message that you already are carrying out a sparrow ministry, maybe without really knowing it. And as we continue during this transition to explore and prioritize what we want to be about in the future, so we recognize what to look for in our next settled pastor, our already in process sparrow ministry, which makes us friends and allies of many different people, will help our discernment. In any congregation, members come and go, and pastors come and go, but the ministry continues and develops by the grace of God and the help of the Holy Spirit. So in this transition time, let us remember that each of us here and each person we encounter here or beyond the congregation are sparrows all, God's beloved sparrows, none of whom will be forgotten by God, our Abba and Ima. And as we prepare to receive Holy Communion, let us remember that no sparrow goes alone, that in nature, sparrows always live in a clan, move in clusters, eat together, the key to their survival and their protection. So every time we eat and drink the sparrow feast, in which by the grace of God, a little wine and a little bread become for us the body and blood of Jesus and the food that fits us for lives of love, unity, and peace, let us close our eyes and picture a world of sparrows gathered by God in love, by love, and for love, and know that we will never be separated from the love of God by anything, not even by death itself. And now, dear sparrows all, let us prepare to feast together on the goodness of God and to go out to bear witness to the love God has for the whole world. God's loving eye is indeed on the sparrow, even you, today, tomorrow, and always, here and there and everywhere. This is good news indeed. Amen.